Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Rick Pearson, the noted political reporter for the Chicago Tribune, is in our Opulence studios. Hi, Rick. Thanks for coming in. How are you?
Fighting a Thanksgiving, post-Thanksgiving cold.
Yeah, you sound a little stuck up.
Stuck up? Okay. I hope not.
What is this, like eighth grade? He is so stuck up. Rick, why is Luis Gutierrez not running for Congress?
It's a good question, John. And repeatedly, when he was asked about it yesterday, his same answer was that... He was going to run for re-election.
He had just filed the papers.
He had filed the papers, and that when Commissioner Jesus Chuy Garcia said he was willing to run, that he decided, now here is the person to take my job, and I'm going to go travel the country and make sure that immigration rights are part of every conversation that's being held within the Democratic constituency around the country. And that his ancestral home of Puerto Rico, that he wants to see it rebuilt.
Yeah, sure.
That's his answer.
Okay.
But for this quick turnaround of events to happen.
Did it just dawn on him that he wants to do that? Why did one day he decide I want to be a member of Congress, and the next day decide he has this lofty agenda?
Yeah, especially when you've been there for 24 years. And it's not like, you know, these are seats for life. In congressional seats in Chicago, or congressional seats for life.
Okay, so is the suggestion that there's more to this than that?
Well, repeatedly, Garcia and Gutierrez denied that there was any kind of brokering of any kind of a deal. But when you look at the fact that on Monday, Gutierrez was seen at City Hall stopping in to talk to the mayor, ostensibly to tape the mayor's podcast.
The mayor has a podcast?
The mayor has a podcast, yes.
I'm sure he does.
And he acknowledged that he told the mayor then that he wasn't going to run. But, of course, with Garcia and the assumption that Garcia is to win that congressional seat, and there are challengers to it, but that would take out the major opponent.
What does Garcia have to offer to Gutierrez? I mean, if there's a broker, like, okay, I'll get out of the way. You can have my seat. I'll endorse you. What does Garcia have for Gutierrez?
Well, the question is, what does Rahm Emanuel have?
I don't know what you mean by that.
Well, because if Garcia goes to Congress, that takes away the presumptive number one challenger to Rahm Emanuel for a re-election campaign in 2019.
Okay, then why would Gutierrez do that for the mayor?
That's what I'm saying. What does Emanuel bring to Gutierrez?
And what is your answer to that?
I don't know. Certainly...
An endorsement for his presidency?
Well...
He's going to be his chief of staff? I mean, literally, what can Rahm Emanuel do that will help Luis Gutierrez?
What the mayor does have is significant connections throughout the country from his tenure.
Sure.
He knows
the Clintons, he knows
Hill.
The Obamas.
And if ostensibly it's not a run for president, which...
Talk about that.
Well, he was asked about, I mean, Gutierrez said, you know, I'm not retiring. I'm going to stay active. We asked him, are you going to run for political office again? He said, I'm not going to run for mayor. I'm not going to run for governor. Not going to run for elected office in Puerto Rico, which had been suggested. But then he was asked, well, you know, are you ruling out a run for president? And he said, I'm not. I'm not ruling it out. No. And
wouldn't it be easier to run for president if you were a sitting member of Congress?
Yes and no. I mean, you're...
Do people in Iowa know who Gutierrez is?
No. I would liken this to probably, at this stage, Carol Moseley Braun's run for president.
How did that go?
It ended in Iowa before the caucuses began.
Yeah. Well, he's smarter than that, though. He's got a bigger footprint than she does.
Yes, but it's a footprint that's largely in the Latino community. And you know, he's a fixture. We don't see it. But if you turned on Univision or Telemundo, you would see him as a regular.
Really?
On their national broadcast.
Okay, so can somebody win an election starting there?
You can have the seeds for one, and really? Certainly the Latino vote is going to be ever more increasing and significant.
I think this all sounds silly. Go ahead. But
no, I'm not. I'm just saying. But I see more of his efforts mainly to perhaps try to create some kind of an organization that's not necessarily a presidential bid,
right?
But an organization to support immigrant rights,
really,
and
sure,
around,
I mean,
around the country.
Okay, well then, good for him. I mean, right? Why am I? Why all this second guessing of the motive?
But why now, though? That's the question.
Well, he's going to get a $76,000 a year pension,
right?
And he's got a $1 million home out of country. I don't. Do you?
No.
So it sounds like if he wants to dial it down and not have to put up with Congress, he can do that. I mean, I guess that's a reasonable enough explanation, but I'm sorry. It seems to me like there's something we're not being told here.
Well, and it's largely because of this timing factor.
Yeah.
I mean, it's old school Chicago politics that if somebody steps down out of office, that you try to pick your successor. You know, the heir apparent is that's tradition in Chicago. But to do it this quickly, and you know, it's kind of amazing because unlike other offices that you run for in Illinois, because we're right in the middle of the filing period,
yeah.
It ends next Monday. You know, to run for governor, you need 5,000 signatures, 10,000 you file just in case there's bad signatures. Cook County Board President is over 10,000 signatures. For the 4th Congressional District seat, the minimum number of signatures you need is 862.
So what's your point?
So it doesn't take much to get...
Somebody could jump in there.
Somebody, yeah, and I think there we'll see, you know, several names jump in. We'll just see how viable their candidacies are, you know, as this works itself down the road.
Okay, and is there a money trail here? For instance, his wife, I've discovered, has pulled $400,000 out of his campaign war chest over the years.
Over the last 10 years, right.
So that's about $50,000 a year. I guess that's not a crazy amount of money, but I don't know. I don't like the smell of that.
But it's legal. The Federal Election Commission has determined that if you... if your spouse indeed is doing duties and you're paying her at the market rate, you are allowed to pay out of campaign funds to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not, you know.
No, listen, when I get to be king, even if she's a qualified person, she will not get to have that job when I get to be king. When I get to be king, the chief judge of Cook County will not be able to have his twin daughters working on the payroll in the county, even though they sound like they're eminently qualified, swell people, just because it looks bad. And by the way, when they first got that job, they might not have been the best persons for it, but now they've got $100,000 a year plus jobs, and everything is swell. I would not allow that if I were king.
Right. I mean, but here again, we have these traditions. Not necessarily good traditions, but it just the idea of something looking bad does not even compute in these people's minds.
No, it does not. Well, because there's never been any repercussions for it. I was talking to Todd Stroger about that just the other day. So nobody's. I'll just ask this one last time, but nobody's sniffing around about any impropriety that the suddenness of his exit doesn't bode ill for some other revelation that's about to come.
I mean, certainly there was speculation about, is there something out there, you know, whatever, but there's no sign of anything.
Well, then good. Let's hope that there is not, and that he's got some national agenda, and that he executes that well.
I mean, it is a continuation of a national agenda that he already has. It's just out of the congressional seat. And, you ask about, you know, is it easier to run for president if you're a sitting member of Congress or something?
Yeah.
You know, Bob Dole actually left the Senate during his campaign because of how confining it was to have to keep going back to Washington to run full time as a candidate for president.
I got to take a break. It's 2:50. By the way, would you just answer one quick question for me when we come back?
Sure.
And that is,
if I can.
Well, what was you can. It's what's your take on the president's tweets of the last 24 hours? I wanted to know what you, sir, thought about the president's tweets of the last 24 hours, specifically retweeting from that ultra-nationalist British site some videos that purported to show Muslims doing violent things.
Well, I thought it was very interesting when Sarah Sanders Huckabee was asked about this, and her basic response to the press corps was, it's not about whether these videos are real or what they purport to show. It's about the threat. And the threat is real, and that's what we should be concerned about.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, you have, over these last several days, the president ranting about fake news and things of that nature, and then retweeting these videos that are purported to rile up a segment of his base that is anti-Muslim. And whether they're made up videos, there's nothing you can say about the accuracy of them. I mean, you have, you know, Theresa May even saying, you know, this is so untoward. And you just, when you think, you know, we're going to get a break from any of this, it doesn't stop.
Money in the bucket. Every time somebody says, I can't believe they said or did this, we put money in the bucket. We're going to have a big Christmas party next year with all of the money that we put into the bucket.
I mean,
and think about Sarah Sanders' job. So the day that she tweets, finally good news from CNN, they're not going to come to the White House Christmas party. They said they will not attend because of the bad relationship. It'd be wrong for them to go to that party. And she, and the president retweeted her tweet, which is finally good news from CNN. That's bad news for America, by the way, when the media and the presidency are so at odds that they will not even go to a traditional holiday party. That's sad news for America. And she says it's the best news from CNN.
Well, and you had the president calling out CNN International for some of its reporting, including, you know, slave trade in Libya. And because of Donald Trump's tweets attacking CNN International because they don't present a good picture of the United States, which isn't their job, it's not the media's job. But because of that tweet, you have the Libyan government trying to call into question as fake news that CNN International report.
Rick Pearson writes for the Chicago Tribune. It's nice to see you, Rick. Thanks for coming into our studio today.
Words matter. Thanks, John.